Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me today on La Femme de Prose, which, as you well know, because you are podcast loyalists, this is the program that is attached to Focus on Women magazine. I am your host, Karen Allen, talking to you from the nation's capital, which, okay, the Maryland suburbs of Washington, D.C., and my guest today is all the way in Denver, which is such a beautiful city. Of course, I've never been there, but I've never been anywhere. Anyway, I'd love to go sometime. Julie Federico is a writer, among other things. She's written a book for children that is really special. I'm going to share it with you in a minute. But just to give you a bit of background, she is a former middle school counselor. She holds a bachelor's degree in social work and a master's degree in counseling from Indiana University. She also wrote a previous book called Some Parts Are Not for Sharing. That is a child's first book on body safety. This book is sort of explaining to children about domestic violence, which is such a serious and way more common issue than I think many of us guess. Julie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's a pretty serious subject.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate that you want to take a few minutes and talk about this.
Definitely. Of course, a few minutes is the tip of the iceberg, but the book is called Anger is Okay, Violence is Not, which is a phenomenal name for this book because it really says it all. It's also kind of a coloring book. It's a very thin paperback. It says it all in just a short message. It's for, ages 0 to 7, but really the message, of course, is universal. And Julie, why did you write this adorable and very visual, colorful book?
Well, I didn't write it for myself. I was doing an author visit in Hartford, Connecticut. They were celebrating Child Abuse Awareness Month. And as we ate lunch, they said, Julie, will you write us another book? We have nothing to celebrate Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is in October. They go, there's no materials for kids on this topic. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't write you a book. I'm not done working on this one yet. And they go, you don't have to be done, but we've got nothing. And I looked at them, and I'm like, oh. So on the plane from Hartford back to Denver, in one fell swoop, I wrote Anger is Okay, Violence is Not. And that's kind of how that was the inception of it, and that's how it came about.
This book comes with sort of a note to parents. Can you explain what you say there?
The note to parents is new. I just wrote that probably about 7 months ago. And so the book has a dual the book is for anyone who has a toddler because it has a dual message. If you have a toddler struggling with temper tantrums, it teaches replacement behaviors, which is key when you're dealing with children in temper tantrums. You can't just say to the child, stop, and they'll stop whatever they're doing. It's like smoking. You just can't say to someone, stop smoking, and they'll stop smoking. You have to have a replacement behavior. So the book teaches the toddler in the book replacement behaviors. In the book, it's a book of fish. The fish, one of the fish is living in domestic violence, and you can see it with this angry parent that's raging. So the domestic violence message is kind of woven into the anger book. It's kind of a back door. So if you're not living with domestic violence, all you read is a toddler anger control book. You're like, that's a great book. And I had it that way from 2012 until last year. And then I took some time. I had to reprint my book because my publisher closed. So I had to reprint everything, redo everything. And then I wrote a very heartfelt note to women and parents who were living in domestic violence situations. And basically in the note, I just said two things. One, you're not alone. Two, get out. That's kind of the summary of the note to readers. And that's in the newer version. If you have an older version, that's not in there. But if you want it, I'll be glad to send it to you. But that's what the note is about.
Well, before we go any further, I want to tell people that you can actually find this book on pretty much on Amazon, if I'm not mistaken. And also, you can find more information on juliefederico.com. She's on Twitter. She's on LinkedIn. She's on Facebook. So I will repeat that toward the end of the show. But I know you're going to want to get this book because, I mean, it's not even but a meager investment yet financially, yet it reaps rewards for years to come, for sure, because it is so visual and so simple. and it says basically how to be angry, how to behave when you're angry or someone else is, and how to behave when you're angry and feeling how it's okay to feel these feelings, but not to act violently on them. That is the message of the book, and it's beautifully done. I congratulate you on that. It really, you know, it asks all these questions. Is it okay to, you know, play soccer when you're angry? Is it okay to, paint a picture when you're angry?
And one of them, of the fish even cries, which I think is good.
Yeah, it's adorable.
I think crying is really good. And this book is also on your website.
On focusonwomen.com.
Yes.
Focusonwomenmagazine.com. And it does, as you said, is it okay to cry when you're angry? And yes to all these. And then you say it's okay to be angry as long as you aren't hurting anyone. And you also say if someone in your family is getting angry and hurting others, it's okay to tell your teacher or another trusted adult. So it's a pretty simple message. And the message, you know, you've got it, you know, in bold. Anger should not hurt others. So everyone gets angry, and this is okay. But it's not okay to get angry and hurt people. I'm reading from the book. So you listeners, you pretty much understand what is in this really wonderful book. It's so simple. And so, honestly, I think it's good for any age. Because many adults do not know this. Am I right, Julie?
No. With our traffic problems here in Denver, I can tell you I see angry adults every day.
Road rage is a perfect, rage is actually a perfect example. Let's talk about domestic violence. Tell me some of the misconceptions, because I think people, for one thing, the first question is, why didn't she just leave? Why didn't she leave years ago? That's one, and you know a few others about kids specifically.
And what are the misconceptions about it? Can I go back and piggy on what you just said about the book?
Of course.
In the book, the little kid reports to a teacher, and I know from my years at schools, anyone from the custodian to the principal, anyone who works at a school is a mandatory reporter. I think sometimes it's easier for kids to report than the women or men that are living in domestic violence. Kids still see a spade as being a spade. When you live in domestic violence long enough, a spade is a club is a diamond. And you don't call things like you see them anymore. And you do that out of a sense of protection for yourself and your children. Kids see it for what it is. You ask any kid who watches his mom get beat up, he'll say, that was wrong. That's not right for him to treat her that way. 100% of them will say that. So I'm kind of tapping into the usefulness aspect and the black and whiteness of it. When you're younger, this is all black and white. When you get to be older, there's many, many shades of gray, and it gets harder. And some of the myths, when people say, why doesn't she just leave, they don't know that this person that they're living with has their hands around her neck, either literatively or figuratively, and she can't just leave, you know? This isn't a roommate situation. You're involved in usually a long-term intimate relationship with this man. You share finances, you share children, you share a family, you share a house, you share a visa. So this is not a roommate situation. People say, why don't you just leave? You act like you're more acquaintances. I think it's very easy to leave an acquaintance whose life is not mixed in with your life. So when you ask someone, why don't you just leave, they have to leave 50% of their life behind, if that makes sense.
They also often don't have money or where to go because
he holds
the purse strings, and that's how he controls her, among other ways. My God, there's so many ways.
There's so many, but financially it's huge, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom with young kids and you've been out of the workforce for a while. And anyone living in domestic violence has the self-esteem of a snail, you know, and that's by design from the perpetrator. So your self-esteem skills are not great, thinking, I can just walk back into work and walk back into a career, you know. There's many reasons why people don't leave. One of the myths that mothers believe, and this is a myth I'd like to work on now, is a lot of times they have younger kids, and all the fighting will take place at night after the little kids have gone to bed. And women think, oh, my kids don't know. because they're asleep when everything happens. And I just wrote an article on this for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and I was saying children know. They know. They hear and they know. They may not say anything to you, but they know that something dangerous is going on and they know it's not right. And if, with a little encouragement, they'll probably tell a teacher. So those are some myths. I mean, I could go on forever, but I will stop here because there's just so many.
Well, it's a good thing that we have a full half hour to talk about this, so I'm happy with that. And I also think that if this book helps someone, just urge, you know, edge a child just that much closer to telling an adult that you've accomplished a lot, because they so often keep it inside and they don't talk. And it's understandable. It's hard. It's hard for the whole family. But it's interesting, and I hope people are paying attention when you said the kids know. No matter what you think, the kids know. That's another way of denying it to ourselves.
And a bad thing, that, and I default back to the mother because I just have heard too many mother's stories and not enough men's stories, but the mother is not doing the children any favors. So the children knows this atrocity is happening in their family, in their house, two times, three times a week or more. They wake up the next morning, you're feeding them cereal, and you're smiling. That doesn't validate
right.
their reality. That can make them feel a little crazy. Do you know what I mean? You wake up, and mom's like, happy, happy, things are fine. She's got a lot of makeup under her eye that got hit last night or whatever. But if you don't validate their reality, you're really doing them a disservice because they know. They know that you know, obviously, and they know you're not saying anything. So if you just say, you know, this is going on, I'm trying to get reorganized. And another thing is to make friends with your neighbors. There's sometimes you have to get the kids out of the house immediately. There's nothing better than having a neighbor down the block that you can swoo the kids away out of the house, down to the neighbors for an hour or two, until things can get more of an equilibrium, you know? I mean, having a circle of neighbors can be extremely valuable. And then on days when your husband's traveling or things are calm, you invite those neighbors over to your house because it's not chaos all the time. And you could reciprocate the invitation. But the kids know, and they need a word from you, just a few words that you know they know and you're trying to work on it. But you're looking for help, and that takes time.
Right, and I hope people listen to this. Call the Domestic Violence Hotline in wherever city you are. That's definitely something that everyone needs to do to at least get advice. The thing about leaving, Julie, that we didn't mention is once, if a mother can leave, and that's hard, there's all we mentioned before, and then there's family court, which that is another whole serious issue. And I don't want to get people all, you know, up in arms, but because still leaving is the right thing to do. But family court is very difficult, very costly, and often the abuser convinces the judge that the mother is making it up. So it's just a difficult thing, and this is a serious problem internationally. So I just want to give parents a head up that give moms a head up especially, but they need a new lawyer, a good lawyer. Anyway,
and I want to put in a.
Go ahead.
I want to put in a plug for domestic shelters. So, domestic shelters runs all in North America. Any city you can go, domesticshelters.com, and you type in your zip code, and then a list of shelters in your area will come up. You can do it from your phone or a computer, and they have just a wealth of information on there. And they're a great resource. It's very difficult to do this alone. It's not impossible, but you're better surrounded by a team of people because it is a long, long process.
Right, and I was starting to say earlier that you just need a supportive community around you, people, you know, helping you in different ways. And it also helps, if at all possible, to get therapy while you're doing all this. And there are places that offer free therapy, domestic violence, assistance, and some places, depending where you live, you just have to investigate, that offer free therapy or a sliding scale to help you deal with the situation. They are specialists in this kind of thing. So it's very helpful to get that kind of advice. And they can, sometimes they can hook you up with the right lawyers, you know, or they can hook you up with some legal forms, if not advice, et cetera, and try to help you find a place to live. It's all kinds of jobs. There's a lot of help out there. It's just it's a lot on the mom to do at the same time as trying to still raise kids, especially if she was a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
It's really hard.
It is hard.
You also you talked about the other part of this book that I love is that because we're such an angry society compared to, I guess, maybe years ago, you also mentioned before that this is about tantrums. I love that you said that because what mother or father doesn't deal with toddler tantrums? Well, any age, really. So this is a wonderful guide because when kids are in the back seat of the car and they see drivers yelling at each other, they see road rage, and they hear you, the parent, you know, cursing under your breath or whatever, that is certainly exposure to an unhealthier way of coping. So I love what
you're
saying here about tantrums.
Well, the tantrum thing is, that's like universal. Domestic violence, fortunately, is not universal, but the tantrums, I think, run more so.
Yeah.
So this would make a great holiday gift for any little people in your life, 0 to 8, if you have a girlfriend that you know is struggling with domestic violence. You know, it's just a,
yep.
I think when you read things in print, it changes how you think about your own life. And I have a story about that, how I read something in print and it changed my life. I was working as a middle school counselor, and we had a health fair. So at the health fair, I went around and visited all the tables and thanked all the vendors for coming. One of our vendors was a domestic violence shelter, and they had a bookmark, and the bookmark was blue. I still have this bookmark. On one side of the bookmark was signs of a healthy relationship. You flip it over, and there were signs of an unhealthy relationship on the bookmark. When I looked at the bookmark, I had 7 of the 8 signs of an unhealthy relationship. The only thing I was missing was physical abuse. And I looked at that bookmark, and I'm like, Julie, that's weird. You're all on one side. And when I saw it in print, that was the beginning of my journey that I was a victim of domestic violence. But it was not until I saw it in print that something resonated with me inside. I only had one healthy marker on the healthy side of the bookmark. I'm like, that's not normal. You're supposed to be mostly all on the healthy side, maybe a few on the negative, but not 7 out of 8.
That is amazing. And that was the impetus that got you going?
That got me thinking. I thought for a few years. I thought, I can't be in a domestic violence relationship. He's never hit me. And having a master's degree in counseling and an undergrad in social work, I was never, ever taught about what emotional abuse is, what financial abuse is.
Mm-hmm.
It just never came up. I was never educated about that. So I didn't know what was going on. That, in another book called The Emotionally Abusive Relationship, that book was like the lady had a camera and she followed me around my house. And when I read that book, I was like, wow, do you need any more information? I'm like, no, I don't think so. But that got me thinking on this track. But it was written print. And I hope my book can do that for someone. I know that it can because it's been helpful to many people that just have toddlers and then other people who are living with domestic violence.
Have you gotten a lot of feedback?
About the book?
Yeah.
Yes. I sell a lot to school people because they're all like, they recognize the mandatory reporter. They're like, this is a stroke of genius. So in the book, it's a fish, and the fish is a teacher. So the feedback has been positive, but I want my reach to be wider. You know, I want this to be known in domestic violence circles and women's circles and just known as a tool, you know, kind of a go-to tool if you have little kids.
Definitely.
And you're dealing
Definitely.
With domestic violence. I know from the people in Hartford, there's not a lot of books out there on domestic violence for children. So my book is around 0 to 8 years old. So your market of materials is kind of smaller.
But
the
feedback
has been positive.
To all these languages, Julie, and then market it internationally because this exists everywhere.
I know. I have to get on that. If any translators are out there, call me. I'll work out a deal with you. That would be fun. I would like it to get in Spanish. My first book on child abuse is in Spanish, but I have not gotten the anger one up and running in Spanish yet.
Wow. Still, that's pretty good. I like the fact that you write these things and these books that, like I mentioned, the first book that you wrote, and this one, they sort of look like they're in the same series, the way they're illustrated, and some parts are not for sharing is a great idea for a book on body safety, teaching kids about body safety, and some parts are not for sharing. And a lot of times, kids don't know that when they're being sexually abused. They don't know it until it's like 10 years later, and by that time, so much damage is done, so they don't know any better. So
right.
Sad. So, you know, and you hear all so many stories about this. So it's great.
And they go hand in
hand, really.
But both problems kind of go hand in hand sometimes. Sometimes when you see one, you see the other. Not always, but they kind of work well together. And the nice thing is I talk about really difficult subjects. I've written a book on school violence prevention, child abuse prevention, domestic violence. No one ever said to me, Julie, your book frightened my child. I have a skill taking a very complex subject and breaking it down to the level of a three-year-old. I always say maybe that's my mentality, a three-year-old. But I can talk to a three-year-old about domestic violence, and it's not scary. And that, I think, is a God-given skill. I did nothing to cultivate that. I never went to, like, workshops, you know, on how to talk to kids about issues. This was just something that was always inside of me, and I think that's God that just kind of gave me that gift.
Yes, I agree with you. I totally agree with that. How are you doing now, and how many children do you have, and how are they doing?
I have two children. I have a 13 and a 16-year-old. I have been happily single for 13 years, and we're doing good. We're doing very good. That's not to say the road has been easy, but I can't imagine it any other way. When I was married, having a background in mental health, being in our house every day, I'm like, Julie, you're grooming these girls to live in an abusive relationship. And that pressure was enormous. And I'm so glad that we did not stay. Or they would have just witnessed this every day and it would have become normal to them.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I'm so glad to hear that your family's on the mend because it is a recovery process. And then when they become adults, you know, they have this in the back of their mind and they hopefully try not to repeat it since you've educated them.
Right. But it's subtle. It's very subtle how it starts.
Right.
And if you're not familiar with domestic violence, someone doesn't ask you out to dinner and then beat you up in the parking lot. People think that. That's so. And give the women a little credit. Domestic violence people are actually some of the most charming people I've ever met. They have a Obama charisma to them, but, you know, but it doesn't in there. It's mixed with a bunch of other things, and that Obama charisma evaporates, and the woman is just left standing there going, where is this guy that I used to know, this nice guy who took me out to dinner and treated me so well? It never starts off poorly.
That is absolutely true. They are professional manipulators
and I don't know
where their conscience is if they even have one. So
no,
I too speak from experience. So it's unbelievably difficult to see this over time be more and more triggered and get more and more worse. And it just blows up the family.
It can.
Absolutely.
At some point, there's a tipping point where staying is harder than leaving.
Right.
That
is absolutely true.
And that's different for everyone. So if you have a friend and she is in domestic violence, you just might ask her, what's your tipping point? For mine, for 8.5 years, was if he ever hit me, I knew I would be really involved in domestic violence. that was my tipping point, physical violence. So without that, I wasn't leaving until some other things happened that made me believe it was not best to stay, especially with two young daughters.
Yep. Yep, I understand. Okay,
yeah.
Before we go, tell me about what you're doing now. What do you do? What's your day job? And what books or subjects are you thinking about for the future?
You know, I have one more book in me on emotional abuse, which I will probably write in about 7 years. So I've got that in the back of my mind. I am passionate about responsible gun reform, and I have been working on that, and that occupies some of my time. I am still working for the schools. I'm working now as a substitute, and I enjoy that. I enjoy being with the kids, and that allows me time to go on and do my own work on the books and things when I'm at work.
That's wonderful. I wish that you would move up the next book on emotional abuse. 7 years is too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
maybe.
I guess you have legal reasons. I understand.
Yeah.
Let me just tell folks. Yeah, go ahead.
I just need some time to work it all out in my head because I still can't believe it happened. Do you know what I mean? So.
I can't believe
this is my life. This is what I signed up for. This is what I willingly walked into. So that's hard to swallow, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
That's kind of my hesitation. Yeah, do I really want to put this in print? But I do, because the book that I read was immensely helpful to me. And again, that book was called The Emotionally Abusive Relationship. Simple title. She laid it all out, A to Z. And after I read that, I could not sign up for the denial anymore.
Sounds like you were lucky you discovered that.
Yes, I was.
Okay, let me
but it
tell
was back to print.
One
it was.
Time.
Yeah.
Is that a print? And you? Oh, you're lucky then. You really are lucky.
No, I'm saying my turnaround aha moment happened when I saw the bookmark. I'm hoping someone picks up my book at a library or at the domestic violence shelter and be like, oh, my gosh, this is us.
Right. I know that.
And I am looking for any Spanish translation help if there's anyone out there. I do not speak Spanish.
Well, if there is anyone out there and you speak Spanish or you just want to contact or look up Julie, you can find her at juliefederico.com. You can find Julie on Twitter at Julie Federico and on LinkedIn, also author Julie Federico, on Facebook, Julie Federico, and also in today's notes, all of those links are there in today's show notes. So you will have them in front of you if you need. I hope people contact you, Julie. And I can't tell you how much help you are providing for people who need this kind of coping skills as well as an educational tool for their young children.
Well, thank you. I am glad to do it. The need is great.
Sadly, the
I think
need
it,
is very great.
Yeah, it's around 8 million kids a year witness domestic violence in North America alone. And those are the documented ones. So I think it's 8 times maybe 2. I don't know. It's hard to say the numbers. 8 million are documented. And that's always under documented. So I don't know the real number. But you want a better life for your kids, and you can create it with help. So just know that that's out there. If you need some encouragement, email me. I'll send you a paragraphs full.
Good. You're helping a lot of people, and I hope a lot of women take advantage of this. And once again, get help no matter what your situation is. There is help for you. There is a way out. It can be done. It's not easy, but you can do it. Julie Federico, thank you so much. The book is
You're
called
welcome.
Anger is Okay, violence is not. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm Karen Allen. We will be with you on the next podcast, whenever that is. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye, Julie.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.